Have you been to Angelica's Mexican Grill? If you haven't, you're missing out. I got to tell you right now, you go online. Okay, if you're going to go out to, say, a new restaurant, you want, you're going to look it up, right? Oh, the reviews are like, if you find a restaurant with four stars, you're like, okay, that's a place I'm going to go. What if I were to tell you that Angelica's, with almost 3,000 reviews, is 4.5 out of 5 stars? That is really, really good. So stop by Angelica's Mexican Grill and try. I'm going to give you some advice here. The sweet pork is to die for, but if you don't like sweet pork, you could get the carne asada or the chicken, whatever it is you like. Go to Angelica's Mexican Grill, where they feature real, authentic, and fresh Mexican food. They have a salsa bar with roasted peppers. And I know this sounds a little bit weird, but I liked their pickled habanero raw onions. I don't even like onions. I don't like pickles. But somehow the combination of all that makes it incredible. It's Angelica's Mexican Grill. They're located again at 101 East St. George Boulevard. Angelica's is AG approved.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Good morning to 908, almost 909 on KDXU. Are you not getting any sound there in your head? Well, this just has a short in it, so if I mess with it, it might work. Marianne is here, by the way.
Good morning, Andy.
I'm going to mess with your volume thing, see if I can get it to work.
All righty.
Anything yet?
There we go. Now I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. And Marianne has been on the show, what would you say, 3 years now?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Yep. That's impressive. Anybody can put it. My wife is my hero because she's put up with me for 37 years, but you put up with me for 3 years. That's pretty good.
It's just because it's so much fun.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And for those that haven't, don't know Marianne or haven't listened to us before, she is kind of our, I call her our senior fitness guru. And the reason for that is Marianne actually got into fitness a little bit later in life. She wasn't exactly the most fit housewife or whatever early
not
on
remotely.
in her life, but you found fitness and you love fitness. Yeah,
I
look
do,
at you
I
now.
Do.
You're all muscly and stuff.
Well, it
and,
just feels so good to move your body and yeah. know that you're doing good things for your body and your mind.
Yeah. Ooh, you said and your mind. And now, wait a minute. Are you saying that exercise is good for our minds too?
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Well, you know, think about those endorphins and serotonin and all those great things that you're secreting when you're exercising. Those are the feel-good hormones, and they help you sleep. They help you feel better. It's just, that's the most basic thing.
That's pretty cool.
You know,
I would say maybe 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, scientists didn't, they weren't buying that. Now exercise is only for your muscles and your body. It doesn't have anything to do with your mind.
Right.
They've changed their tune a little, haven't they?
They have changed their tune a lot, and it's been shown in research after research that moving your body, getting exercise, staying healthy and fit can stave off things like dementia and diabetes, heart disease, just a whole host of things that we've associated with just our physicality in the past, but it's really mental, too.
So a sedentary lifestyle, not only is bad for your body, you're going to maybe for guys develop a beer gut or for women somewhere else might get a little bigger, but it also helps you, I don't know, live longer, maybe stave off Parkinson's or dementia or something like that, Alzheimer's.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And it's just so important, and it becomes more and more urgent as we get older. I think quite often the inclination is to sit in the Barca Lounger with a remote and kind of, you know, click our doom scroll on your phone or something.
Yeah, doom scroll.
I love that word. Yeah. Rage scroll is another one. But also it's so important to just get up and move. And seniors, unfortunately, have an opportunity or, you know, there's way too much opportunity for us to kind of get isolated. We lose a spouse or our friends start moving away or they're passing away and we become more isolated. And that's one of the biggest precursors to dementia and Alzheimer's and those kinds of things.
And we tend to move to places that, you know, we don't want to deal with snow and ice and things like that. So we move to places like Florida or St. George or Southern California where there's not going to be snow. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that means moving away from our kids and our grandkids. And so the isolation gets even worse, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, very, very important to stay connected and stay moving.
We talked last month about, and I, by the way, I've been carrying this around as a banner lately, about the sports that you can participate in that actually help you mentally because of the social interaction you get with those sports. And you know me, I love pickleball.
It's your pickleball.
Yeah,
yes.
I love it. And last night we played with some new friends, and it was just fun getting to know them and talk to them. And we, you know, that's one of the things about some of these sports that you make new friends. You socialize, and that is, again, scientists 10 years ago were like, nah. Now they're like, oh, well, maybe
it's
that is a good idea.
So very important. Very important. You know, whether it's a team sport or it's going to a class or, you know, being part of a walking group or any of those kinds of things.
Well, even walking, if you have a partner, someone you can walk with or two or three or whatever.
Yeah.
My wife, everywhere we've lived for the past 35 years, first thing she does is try to find someone that will walk with her early in the morning. And I know
that's a challenge.
I was gonna say, there are a lot of people that don't want to do that. Yeah. Like, I'll walk with you late at night, but I'm not walking early in the morning. But and everywhere we've gone, she's found someone to walk with her, and she gets up with me, you know, before 5, and she's out there walking while I'm at work.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Early in the morning.
That is great.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, especially if she has a full-time job. That's when you have to go. And otherwise, at nighttime, you're kind of tired, or you're taking care of kids, or trying to get meals done or whatever.
Right,
and then
right.
You guys have to go to bed pretty early.
Yeah, we do. In fact, we try to get to bed by 10, but it doesn't... I mean, we were actually on the pickleball court till like 9 last night.
Oh, and then you're kind of like revved up. And
so, and getting to bed by 10 is, I mean, as you know, once you've been working out and hanging out with friends and stuff, you can't go straight to bed.
No. If I go, like tomorrow night, we're going to go see Into the Woods at the Electric Theater, which will be really, really fun. It's a musical that's been on Broadway for many, many years, and it's basically Grimm's fairy tales all woven together, which is kind of fun.
Oh, I was going to say, Into the Woods sounds a little bit scary.
No, it's a fun one.
Okay.
Anyway, that doesn't get out in probably until 9:30 or 10, and I know that when I get home, I'm still kind of jazzed from watching, you know, a really wonderful production.
Yeah.
It makes
it
kind of hard to fall asleep sometimes.
By the way, Grimm's fairy tales, some of those were kind of a little bit scary.
They were.
Wolves eating grandmas and things like
that.
They
weren't really for children entirely. They were more metaphor type thing.
So you're going to Electric, that's at Electric Theater now, if someone wanted to go?
Yeah, it's playing now. I think this week is the final performances. So
very cool.
Very, very much urge you to get tickets.
We are so lucky here in Southern Utah to have all these opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, TuaCon, I've been to every year we go to 2 or 3 plays. One year, I think it was last year, my wife went to every single play that was at TuaCon, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
We were able to go to the Shakespearean Festival last weekend and watch As You Like It, which I was texting you. I was telling you, you have to concentrate, you know, but when they're speaking that old English.
It's exhausting,
Yeah. So
that's super fun.
After 2.5 hours, my brain was like, okay, we need to shut off for a little while. But
go listen to a rap song or something.
It was a good play, though. It was really good.
Yeah, and their productions are always spectacular.
Yeah. I asked, maybe you know the answer to this. I don't. Comparatively speaking, Shakespeare Festival versus TuaCon, which one is, they both pay their act. These are professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
I assume they go nationwide looking for these actors. Which one is is TuaCon because it's bigger? I don't know. Which one's supposed to be more?
Are you trying to say which one's better?
Yeah, which one's the bigger thing, like more renowned, more...
Interesting. I would say in their genre, TuaCon is probably the best because they are the only theater outside of Disney World or Disneyland that's licensed to produce Disney productions. Yeah, because the caliber of their productions is so good. So Disney, you know, trusts that that's going to happen in Little Old St. George. That's great. Meanwhile, if you want Shakespeare, that's a whole different kind of mindset.
Yeah.
And also, the Shakespeare Festival does other stuff. They do comedies. They do other
It's not all Shakespeare.
Not all Shakespeare.
I would say at least half of their shows every year are Shakespeare.
And they are renowned for being you know, really, really, really good. I mean, they get equity actors here and up there, and they're all highly professional, and they come here knowing that they're here to put on, you know, a really, really high caliber production, and they do.
The play we went to, As You Like It, was in the outdoor theater, which very much like Shakespeare, you know, the theater in the round and all that stuff.
Yes.
And they didn't have microphones. The speakers had to speak loudly and stuff, which if you're a little hard of hearing like me, that was difficult. A couple of characters had softer voices.
Or someone like me who can't speak very loud, that was kind of hard.
That's true. But, It was actually really warm the first, before intermission. It was 80. Yeah. I know it's Cedar and it's not St. George, but it was still 80 degrees.
You're higher up.
Until intermission. And it was, even my wife, who's never hot, was very warm. She was using the program as a fan and everything. But we did get it to cool down after intermission. Mm-hmm. So that was good.
It's always beautiful at nighttime under the stars.
And I was eating red hot cinnamon candy too. So. Which made me hotter.
Okay.
Yeah, part of the problem. Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe a snow cone might have been a better idea.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Or a cold drink or something.
It was 93 just now when I was pulling into your parking lot.
Yeah.
Not even 9 o'clock in the morning.
At 9 o'clock. Yeah. And last night, yikes. Pickleball at 8 o'clock at night when we started was 105. At 8 o'clock at night.
How does that work? How do you not just pass out?
The one good thing is within the first few minutes, the sun was, so the Sullivan courts where I play, there's mm-hmm. a hill right there, the yeah. Staley Hill right there.
Yeah.
And so the sun sets slightly earlier. And so by the time we really got going, the sun was already set. And honestly, I've always believed this about St. George, even though it's really hot. When the sun isn't beating on you, it's not that bad.
It's not bad. I mean, I've been to many, many concerts in the park where it's, you know, also 103, 105.
Yeah.
And once the sun goes down, everybody's out dancing, having a great time.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about that Dixie sun that'll burn you.
Dixie sun. But it's, I mean, trying to be athletically accomplished when it's 105 and doing the right thing
and not falling down
would be hard for me.
But one of the other guys that I met last night was sweating while we were playing, of course, but I was like, hey, he's like me, he sweats a lot. And the one lady turned to me and said, it's 105,
everybody sweats. Yes.
Because I'm kind of a sweater.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That's very healthy. That's your body regulating your temperature and getting rid of toxins.
Clean out those toxins.
Right.
All right, let's get back to mental acuity a little bit and how the foods that we eat affect that. I was looking up some stuff. So lettuce and cabbage get a bad rap. Everyone's like, those are nothing. But I was looking up some stuff on lettuce and cabbage, and I was like, hey, lettuce and cabbage are actually
pretty good for you.
Yes, yeah.
They are. Yes, they are.
You know, I was reading one of the things that health benefits for better brain health, mm-hmm. And I read the section on green veggies, and it said leafy greens such as, and then it listed kale, spinach, collards, and broccoli. And I'm like, hey, what about lettuce and cabbage? Because I don't really like kale, and I'm not really a big fan of broccoli or spinach. But I do like iceberg lettuce, romaine lettuce, mm-hmm. and cabbage. So, mm-hmm. And I found out that they get a bad rep. Those two, they're actually really good for you, too.
Well, I think part of it is that there's often an inclination to smother the iceberg lettuce in 400 pounds of blue cheese dressing.
A lot of people do that.
Yes, yes, and bacon. And that
bacon.
Kind of.
Ooh, and ooh, bacon.
I know.
Okay, all right. You distracted me. Squirrel. okay, now this is a lot, okay, but 1 cup of cabbage has mm-hmm. 1 gram of protein, 2 grams of fiber, half the daily amount of vitamin K you need, more than a third of the amount of vitamin C that you need for the day. There's B6, folate, there's all kinds of good stuff. That was cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go over to lettuce and you go, okay, what does that have? Well, that also has protein, carbohydrates, fiber. Believe it or not, there's 1 gram of sugar in a cup of lettuce.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I guess it's fructose, it's natural sugar, but still, it's there. It's interesting. So what else did you find out for us, Mary?
Oh, gosh. Well, I found some really interesting information of something called the Gaia study that was 14,626 Americans. And it was
14,000. That's a pretty big study.
A lot of people, and they were following people for 26 years afterwards, which is amazing. And it said that there's an undeniable connection between what you eat and whether or not you can feel burnout. Like if you're tired, you know, if you feel like you're...
So like mental burnout.
Mental burnout, not just physical, yeah.
Okay.
And it shows that very definitely there's a huge connection between how diet influences your mental well-being, stress management, and infectious disease recovery, like how fast you can get over the flu or COVID or whatever.
Now, you were telling me about, through text, about pineapple a little bit and how it helped you recover from one of the surgeries that you had. Tell us about that a little bit.
I was going in for an elective surgery.
Yeah, you don't have to tell us what kind.
Okay.
It's fine.
And as I was walking out, one of the nurses took me aside, and she's, you know, been a part of many, many, many surgeries. And she said, I know this is going to sound really crazy, but please take this advice. Drink a couple glasses of pineapple juice a day.
Pineapple juice.
Yeah, for a day, for a week or so before. And I said, why? And she said, there's an enzyme in it that can greatly reduce swelling and bruising.
And at first, you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, come on.
Yeah, wives' tale.
But you did it, right?
Absolutely. I thought, well, you know, can't hurt. It's like chicken soup. And indeed, I had this procedure on Tuesday, and I was out in public again on Saturday with little to no bruising at all.
It worked.
It really, really worked.
Wow.
Yeah. And cool. I'm also not somebody who bruises all that well, that much, but it could have been pretty drastic from what I understand. So.
Now, my wife's a little bit of a bruiser. I wonder if... Maybe we introduce a little more pineapple into our diet. Maybe. We love pineapple at Griffin House.
Why not? Why not?
And by the way, trivia fact, pineapple is number 3 in the nation in as far as fruit.
As popularity?
Popularity. Uh-huh. Apple's number 1. Yeah. Bananas, number 2, mm-hmm. and then pineapples, number 3, ahead of grapes and cherries and all those other ones.
Yeah, I think the apple a day thing is probably, you know, founded in wisdom. Mm-hmm. Bananas, I think every athlete in the world that, you know, does long distance or, you know, wants to recover after workout.
And
all the potassium. And then pineapples just are so tasty. And they have all kinds of good properties for you. And they make great, great, great Mai Tais.
Last Friday was International Pineapple Day. Yeah.
How did I miss that?
Yeah.
So I know why, because I was having my teeth worked on.
Yeah, root canal. Yeah. But I had my wife, went out shopping and did some things, and I bought mm-hmm. some pina colada mix mm-hmm. and made virgin pina coladas
yes,
at home.
So. Yes, they're delicious.
Pretty awesome.
And did you play Rupert Holmes in the back?
Rupert Holmes. Hey, yes. I'm impressed.
I just came out.
I think that's the only hit he ever had, wasn't it?
He was a one-hit wonder.
The song, do you know the real name of the song?
The Pina Colada song.
That's in parentheses, but there's a word before that.
If you like pina coladas.
It's called Escape.
Oh, Escape. That's the name of the song.
Oh, yeah.
God. Okay, you got me on that one.
And that was 1979.
Okay.
By the way. And I was 13 at the time.
I won't tell you how old I was.
Slightly older than that.
Slightly older than that.
Uh-huh. So, all right, let's get back to where we were.
Okay, so basically, the study showed that people who followed the SAD, which is a great, you know, appropriate acronym for the Standard American Diet, which is highly processed foods and
that is sad.
I know, and fried stuff and oily stuff and all that kind of stuff. Really, really, really. Added sugars and unhealthy fats had a higher burnout risk, increased stress, and slower recovery rates from illnesses. And then conversely, what kind of diet promotes mental resilience? Well, duh. A whole plant-based diet is ideal. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, beans, nuts and seeds. And these foods contain antioxidants, fiber, and healthy fats that protect the brain, reduce inflammation, and help build a stronger stress response.
Now, I was reading about this nuts. The number one best for you nut out there, it pains me to say it because I don't like this nut, but is the walnut. That is number one. Everybody's like, walnuts, pecans, they're the same thing. They're not.
They're not.
I like pecans. I don't like walnuts.
Okay.
So, but, you know, peanuts aren't, they're not even really, they're not
they're
even
kind
really
of high in fat. But I love peanut butter. I have peanut butter every morning.
Yeah. A lot of protein.
Yeah.
Cashews are fine as mm-hmm. well, but not really where you want to be. If you really want to help mental acuity in your diet and you have to eat nuts, walnuts are the ones to pick. And like I said, it pains me to say that because I'm not a big fan.
Do you like almonds?
Yeah,
not so
okay.
much. Yeah, okay.
They're okay. Yeah.
They're pretty much up there as well. They're pretty good for you.
I wonder, do we have any research on pecans? Because I do like pecans.
I do not have research on that, but I'm sure we could look it up.
We'll have to look that one up. Hopefully, somebody listening is looking that up right now. But you mentioned berries as well.
Oh yeah, high in antioxidants,
and that includes all berries, right? Strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, all of them.
Good source of fiber, good source of water. I mean. Yeah, all those are really good things, and antioxidants.
Now, do you have a berry fan? Okay. Are you a fan of a particular...
Raspberries.
You like raspberries?
Raspberries, yeah. Okay. It's my favorite. Unfortunately, I've been buying some berries recently, and I won't say which grocery store they came from, but the last two batches just felt like they were...
Not good?
Not good. They were covered in chemicals or something. I had some, and Doug had some, and we both went...
And you probably washed them too.
We always wash them.
And maybe a quick warning there, Paul. Please wash your produce.
At home,
because you never know who's handled it and what's been on it and where it's been and what's crawled on it.
And
wash your fruit before you eat it.
I mean, there's so many E. coli and salmonella outbreaks every year, and I just think, oh man. And it's having had that once in my life, I never ever, it's just miserable. I don't want to do it again.
I am partial to blackberries. I love them. Yeah, I really like blackberries.
Are you a strawberry fan?
Eh, not really. They're okay.
If they're really ripe and sweet, I love them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not so much a fan unless they have a lot of sugar on them.
Yeah, good point.
Kind of defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, there's a place in town that sells, and I'm not going to say the name because this is kind of my wife and I's little secret.
Oh.
That sell the best strawberries ever. And if you would like to know, folks, I'll tell Marianne later, and you can text me and say, all right, what is it?
But, okay.
There's one place in town, and there's one day a week where they have them, and then they sell out because they're so good.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, is it the farmer's market by any chance?
It is not. No,
okay.
It is not. So okay. we'll talk to Marianne. And again, like if you'd like to know, text me at 467-5842. I will share, but not to a mass audience.
Will just you slip it on a piece of paper to me after we're done?
I will, yes.
Done. Okay.
I can't say it out loud, or I will be killed by my wife.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you don't want to.
She loves them.
Want to be overrun with tourists. Yes.
Okay, talk a little bit about as far as this is concerned. I keep hearing fatty fish is good for mental acuity. Why fatty fish? And what is a fatty fish?
Fatty fish. There's things like salmon, and I think sardines, and those kinds of things.
I don't want a sardine, but salmon, huh?
Yeah, salmon's okay. Really, really good.
Why are they fatty? Why are they called that? Do you have any idea?
There's a certain kind of. Hormone or enzyme or something in the fish. I think maybe Dr. Blodgett could tell you about this tomorrow. But
my little thing says they're abundant sources of omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
I guess.
Fatty acids, right.
Because I look at a salmon, well, he's not fat, you know. Sardines are not. They're a little tiny thing, you know. Yeah. But it's a different kind of fat.
There are good fats that you need to have, like that you have in avocados and things. But the bad fats are the pretty obvious ones, you know.
Yeah, you know, Twinkies.
Anything that's fun. Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, Pop-Tarts. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a while, actually.
Really?
No, it's been a while.
Are you swearing off?
No. I mean, there's still most flavors I can go, yeah, no. But there's one or two flavors that I would still say yes to. Tuna fish, by the way, is a fatty fish as well. And if you don't, I know a lot of people, I'm not a fish guy, but they'll eat a tuna fish sandwich or something. Well, tuna is actually really good for you.
Yeah, it's really, really good for you. However, again, you don't want to offset that by putting in 400 pounds of mayonnaise.
That's true. A little bit. Some lemon pepper and you'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's really good for you. I happen to love pretty much all kinds of fish. So
we have fish
two or three times a week for sure.
Are you from the coast? Did you live close to the ocean?
No, Sacramento, California.
Yeah.
Pretty much inland, hot and dry. But
we went, my wife and I, when we were newlyweds, we went for a drive with her parents. We were out in New Jersey, and we drove home along the New Jersey coast, and all we could find, it was late, it was 10 o'clock, and all we could find open were seafood places, and my wife and I, neither one of us are seafood people.
Okay.
And finally, my father-in-law said, all right, we're stopping to eat here, and they went, it was a seafood buffet, and it was like $50 a head, which back in the 80s was a lot of money. And we got there, and everything in that place, with the exception of some potatoes, was seafood. I mean, it was, you know, scallops and clams and oysters and you know, all kinds of
fish.
You would have loved the place. Yeah. My wife and I kind of looked at each other like, what do we do now? So we ate a lot of potatoes that night. A little bit of fish.
$50 potatoes.
$50 potatoes. Which potatoes are pretty cheap. So.
My stepson went to college in Maine at Bates College. It's a small liberal arts college. And when we went to his graduation, we had driven up the coast from, I think, New York or something. Anyway, we had lobster and lobster and lobster, which was wonderful, but it's all, you know, drenched in butter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not used to having a lot of butter, it does some interesting things to your digestion.
Whoosh. That's all I have to say is whoosh.
Whoosh, exactly.
All right, Marianne, I've got to pay some bills here. We'll be back with more. We're talking about food that is good for your brain. We'll talk about that some more when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, I don't have a name of who sent this to me, but thank you for sending me the benefits of pecans. I love it.
Oh, nice.
All right, benefits of pecans. Support heart health with healthy fats, rich in antioxidants. Boost brain health and memory. Help with blood sugar control and weight management. Improve gut health with fiber. Strengthen bones, skin, and hair, and minerals with minerals like magnesium and zinc. And supports the immune system while also providing natural energy. Eat in moderation, though, because pecans are high in calories.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes.
Tasty.
And you probably shouldn't eat too much of them if they come in the form of pecan pie. Right?
So. Yeah.
Mary Ann Hamilton with me today on the Andy Griffin Show. We're talking a little bit about the foods that you can eat that will help you not only physically, but that will help your mental acuity, help you think a little bit better, maybe stave off some of those bad things that are maybe in the wings for some of us down the road. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and dementia and its different forms. So yeah. Any other advice for us, Marianne?
Basically, one of the researchers says that, you know, eating this plant-based diet or eating the healthy foods is like giving your brain a tune-up, Bailey. You know, it's keeping it at a state where it's not going to get sort of befuddled, you know, with bad stuff. And it's basically staves off depression, anxiety, fatigue, and poor stress tolerance. And all those things, the typical American diet or the SAD diet, basically deprives the body and the brain of all those nutrients that are needed for resilience.
Can we give it a different name? I feel bad.
I think it's perfect. Yeah. I think it's just sad. It's just sad. So, yeah, basically food is a core pillar of psychological well-being. And eat right, and you're going to feel better, and you're going to be clearer thinking and just, you know, in a happier mood, which is good.
And I think it's important for us to note that, you know, sometimes you have a cookie or sometimes you have some ice cream or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You didn't fail if you eat something bad for you.
No.
Right? You just go, okay, I was in the mood. I really wanted to have a cupcake, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So what?
Don't make
it a
habit.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You treat yourself. I mean, all the research shows that the more you try and deprive yourself of something, the more obsessed about it
you become.
And then it just becomes this, you know, crazy, crazy thing. And then that's where addiction comes from. You just kind of have to have more and more and more of it.
Good point. Yeah. One of the things I found really helped me was, say, double stuffed Oreos was my thing. And it's not really, but say it was. You might go and say, I'm going to grab three or four of them and eat them all. Well, you know what? You can still eat a double stuffed Oreo, even if you have to have two. That's fine.
Totally fine.
That's better than four, isn't it?
Put it away. Put them away. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, get yourself some skim milk or 1% and dip it. Just reducing the number.
Right? Correct.
Say you want a donut. Well, cut off a little corner of a fritter or whatever, and you're fine, you know, instead of eating the whole thing.
Absolutely. I mean, don't We are constantly bombarded with all these messages that say we have to be thin, we have to be skinny, we have to be...
Terrible, shame on you.
Yes, for having sugar. No, well, you know, your body does require some sugars to run on. You need it for energy, and especially if you're working out, exercising. But it's just a question of, you know, balancing that with the other stuff that's better for you.
Good point. Very, very well said. Now, folks that don't know this should know that Mary Ann Hamilton is a writer, a very good writer, very prolific writer who works for Health and Wellness Magazine.
Yes.
I say works for it. When you're a writer, you do a lot of freelance.
I'm a contributor.
Type stuff. So, yeah, you become a contributor. At times in my life, I've been a contributor to the LA Times, to Sport Magazine. I've never been published in Sports Illustrated, but maybe someday. But I don't work for them.
Correct.
A lot of times when you're writing stories, and I know you don't do this with health and wellness, but you'll send out a sample of what the story is going to be about. I forget the word for it now. Maybe you remember. And then they will tell you, hey, we're interested in that.
Yes.
And I happened to do one on Dick Motta years ago. He was a former Utah Stars coach. In fact, was the all-time leading victories coach in the history of basketball for many years. And he had opened a candy shop in Logan, Utah. And I wrote a story about that and had pictures and everything. And that's the article that Sport Magazine bought from me years ago. But so writing is if you can write, I think you can do a lot of things. It really helps you. And I know that you have made one of your passions in life is writing good stories. Tell us about the one that you experienced recently.
This is my, as of August, this will be my 11th year writing for St. George Health and Wellness Magazine. I moved here in 2014, and they were kind enough to let me start contributing that fall.
Do you have a story count? How many stories have you written for them?
Oh, gosh.
Years?
Well, I only missed, I think, one or two in 11 years. So however many times 12, it's a lot.
That would be over 100 for sure. Yeah. Cool.
It's been super, super fun. I have the luxury of being able to pitch stories to my editor and say, you know, what would you think about this? And 9 times out of 10, she'll say yes. And it's 99 times out of 10.
I was going to say, as a former editor, we love it when you come to us with ideas.
Right, because
otherwise we have to come up with them ourselves.
Yeah.
And make assignments. So, of course. That's awesome.
Once in a great while, she'll say, okay, it's going to be our Thanksgiving issue. You know, can you cover these topics about gratitude or something? But mostly it's just me saying okay. And what's also been wonderful is that I have friends in the community now that know that I write for this magazine, and they'll come to me and say, hey, you know, I think so and so would be a great
those references are valuable, aren't they?
Which is what happened for this current issue. A friend of mine, he's a runner, and he was running one day and saw this guy running to the top of a hill, and he had no shirt on. He was, you know, really inked up
and very, very fit.
beard, bald head, looks really interesting. And so Wayne stopped to talk to him and said, hey, I think you should interview this guy. So it turns out his name is Matt Quinlan.
Okay.
He lives here in Santa Clara.
Okay, local guy, good.
Local guy. And he grew up in a pretty rough way. His family kind of disintegrated when he was 12, and he was on his own from the time he was 12.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, it's really, really tough. And he started running with a pretty rough crowd. And I'm going to fast forward because I don't want to...
Yeah, we only have 18 minutes left.
So, okay, fine. But he got into some trouble. But he married his high school sweetheart the minute he turned 18, and she was 18. And she said, I think you should join the military. And he said... okay. And her father, was a big, big time military, you know, officer.
So here's a guy that had little discipline his whole life.
Correct.
And all of a sudden he's in the military.
Yes. And he's grown up on this really, really remote part of the California desert. And his, he ends up going to a high school for troubled youth, which happens to be on the, same property as a military base where her father was. And so she knew who he was. He knew. The dad knew who he was not thrilled when they got married.
No.
But he just basically joined the military. Another thing was that when he was, he basically said, I just didn't ever show up for school. I just didn't turn in my stuff. I didn't really care. And teachers would just pass him forward. They just would say, okay.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, right. Okay, now you're in fourth grade. Now you're in fifth grade. He didn't finish high school, but he went to this school for troubled youth. And one of his elementary school teachers happened to be there. And she brought him in some papers and tests from when he was in elementary school and said, you're really smart. You can do this. You can do this. And she helped him get his GED, which was amazing. Hmm. And then he went on to have this really spectacular military career. And a big part of it was that he realized that he's very, very physically fit. And he was in a lot of military, you know, games and competitions. And he's now a Spartan warrior, he and his wife.
Now, explain to people what that means, because being a Spartan warrior athlete is pretty special.
Yeah, it's like being an Iron Man and a Ninja Warrior combined on steroids, basically.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, their competitions are endurance runs through obstacle courses. I mean, going through the mud and climbing mountains and, I mean, just insane stuff that requires just a remarkable amount of physical fitness. And meanwhile, his wife kind of went along with him saying, oh, okay, honey, if you want to do it, I'll do it too. And she's equally as fit as he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. She's also been a fitness instructor, and she's about as ripped as they come as well. But I spent about 2 hours with them one day doing this interview, and they were just fascinating people.
Now, how did you get them to hold still for 2 hours?
Well, they were very, very, very polite. He still calls, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And I said, you're so military, right? Either that or like you were talking about people from Texas, right? Yeah. Very, very, very lovely man, despite all of the things that he's been through earlier in life. He's now committed himself to being, you know, the best physical specimen he can be.
And the pictures in the Health and Wellness magazine prove that out very well.
Yeah. So he and his wife are going to go to the Spartan Trifecta World Championships this fall.
Did you take the photos too, by the way?
No, he provided those. Yeah. Okay. That would have been really fun, but these are just all from him. And it's just basically the best people in the world, the most fit people in the world competing against impossible odds. So that was a really, really fun interview to do, and I loved writing this story.
Tell us his name again.
His name is Matt, with one T, Matt Quinlan, and his wife, Quinlan. Jen Quinlan.
From Santa Clara.
From Santa Clara.
Very cool.
You might want to have them on the show after.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like a pretty good guest coming up. And you can read about it. Marianne wrote the story. It's in Health and Wellness Magazine.
Yeah, it's the July-August issue, which just hit newsstands today, actually.
Very cool. And is that how do you obtain one of those?
They're all over town. You can find them at the grocery store, your doctor's office, pretty much any place. There's a newsstand. They are free to the community, and they go pretty quickly, which is kind of nice.
Very cool. We do have a few copies here in the town square offices, but we would like to keep some of them anyway. So 9:46 on KDXU. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with, we'll wrap things up and talk about the 4th of July, what's coming up. By the way, Marianne is all red, white, and blue stars and stripes today. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. We got about 10, 11 minutes left on the show. Marianne Hamilton is with me today on the Andy Griffin Show. We were talking earlier about foods that you can eat that will help your mental acuity, not just your physical acuity. And if you want a list of those or want to talk about those, you just text me and we'll let you know and give you some links to go to learn more about that. We learned about Matt Quinlan a little bit and his physical fitness and prowess, and Marianne wrote about him in Health and Wellness Magazine. And now let's talk about the 4th of July. Now, folks, a couple of things to think about. First of all, tomorrow, July 2nd, it is legal to set off fireworks in St. George City, but, and a big but, we've got the red flag. They're worrying about it, and everything's dry. We haven't really had much rain in a long time.
And fires.
And there's fires and smoke everywhere. And I just, you know, if you... And Utah learned a long time ago, you can't tell people they can't do it because they're going to do it anyway, legal or not. But trying to control where they do it. Right now, it is only legal to set off fireworks in designated city parks. Not every park, I should add. Most of the parks, yes, but not all of the parks in St. George. So go to sgcityutah.gov to get a full list. I have Forest Park behind my house. It is not legal to set fireworks off in Forest Park. And if you looked at Forest Park and how dry it is right now, you would know, okay, I probably
not a good
shouldn't
idea.
Do that.
Yeah.
And the other warning I got, actually, I had a fireman friend of mine. He said, will you please tell people not to set fireworks off while holding them in their hands? I was like, wait, do people really do that? He goes, every year we have quite a few injuries. People blow off their fingers or they get burned really bad or whatever because they were holding the firework when they lit it off. I'm like, okay, it doesn't seem like I should have to say it, but I'm going to say it. Don't hold the firework when you set it off, folks. Don't do it.
Is there an intelligence test that you're required to pass before you can purchase fireworks?
Here's your sign. Yeah,
sign. Yeah.
So tomorrow and Thursday, 11 to 11. It's legal to set off fireworks 11 to 11 in those designated areas. On the 4th of July, on Friday, it's legal till midnight.
Midnight, right.
And then on Saturday the 5th, it's legal till 11 again. And then it is not legal anymore until we get close to the 24th. So if you're hanging on to them till Monday or something, don't do it.
Don't do it.
You can get in big trouble. So. Yeah.
Right. It's just better yet, go downtown and watch it, or watch it from someplace else. There's a huge fireworks
presentation. I agree, but there are people that are going to... And I was kind of, when I was young, you know, before we had kids, but I had nephews and nieces, I was kind of, oh, he's going to go get the fireworks and set them off for the kids. And I understand, and they're exciting and fun. And,
yeah.
But please be careful.
Yeah, I'm so worried about this whole area's a tinderbox right now. And
it really
it's
is.
Just, you know, one spark somewhere is going to be really treacherous.
Well, there was that city in California that the whole city burned down and lives were lost and many structures were lost. Just up in Pine Valley, we lost 13 homes.
Yeah.
And fortunately, no lives. But you think about losing your home. And I know a good portion of those were summer homes, mm-hmm. were homes that were maybe people didn't live in full time. But guess what? It's still your house.
Still your house. And you have stuff in there that, you know, you're going to miss, pictures and things you can't replace.
Yeah. Well said. So, all right. What about the city? What's the city got going on for 4th of July?
Oh, well, it's a little bit reduced this year, but it's still going to be really fun.
Yeah. Understandable because it's, 100 and whatever degrees.
Right. 93 right now. So it starts in the morning really early with the Uncle Sam 4K race, which I'll be doing.
Ooh, 4K. That is not 5, and then it is not 10, but 4.
It's about 2.5 miles, basically. Okay. So it's doable for anybody. You can walk it. You can, it's really a fun just kind of...
And are you going to race walk? Or are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Okay. I'll be race walking with Michelle Graves. She'll be jogging. I'll be race walking.
Okay.
And we'll have our matching outfits before we go and then announce the parade. So the packet pickup for the Uncle Sam 4K is Thursday, July 3rd. From 5 to 7, which might be a little toasty, and then in front of the Washington County School District building, and then Friday morning also same place from 6 to 6:30, and then the race takes off at 6:30.
From?
It's right downtown.
Right downtown.
Yeah, right in front of the building.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it goes down, it starts at Washington County School District building, and just basically goes east to, I think, either 4 West or 2 West, and then back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then the parade kicks off bright and early at 7:45. Starts on Tabernacle at 100 West.
7:45.
7:45.
Isn't that earlier than
it
in
is,
the past?
Yeah, it has been. I think
about 9 usually.
Yeah. Well, no, because I know that I was doing the talent show. We were doing the talent show at 10 o'clock, and I think maybe it was 8 o'clock. But anyway, they're starting at 7:45.
Oh yeah, we did that. We judged that for you
last year.
And it was very toasty.
It was very, very toasty. It was, I think, 108 by the time we finished.
I think you were delirious for a while.
I was really, really sick by the end. Yeah, it was. I couldn't take in enough fluids. I just kept pounding water the entire morning, and it wasn't coming out, unfortunately. And I got heat exhaustion.
Not even sweat.
No.
At a certain point, because that's kind of one of the telltale signs,
yes.
right? With heat exhaustion or heat. The other one is you stop sweating.
Yeah.
Your body's like, I'm done.
It was bad. It was, walking up and down those stairs to the stage and wearing the sparkly dress and the heels and the crown and the whole bit. So
it was probably the reflections from all the bling you were wearing.
That must have been really it, Andy. Yeah. It just fried me. Yeah. Anyway, so the parade gets off at 7:45, and Michelle and I will be announcing the parade at the review stand on in front of Cache Valley Bank on Tabernacle, which will be fun. It's always fun to see.
So did you go through and get a whole bunch of jokes to make instead of, or are you just going to stay with this script?
There is a script, and I'm sure we'll do some ad-libbing because she and I always do that.
And you and Michelle are going to have matching outfits.
Yes, we are.
Do you ever match outfits with your husband, you and Doug?
No, he'll be wearing whatever this.
Well, I don't mean this time, but I mean just.
We have.
Do you guys do matching outfits occasionally?
Kind of, sort of. When we've gone to formal events, we have sort of thematic coloring or something,
nice.
Same thing.
And so his tie might match your dress or something.
Right. Okay. Kind of like, prom look or something. Not too prom-y, hopefully. So that's what's going on. Then the parade is over, and then where we used to have the carnival and all that kind of stuff during the daytime, that's all now been shifted to the Dixie Days, which will be in September. And
for good reason. It is so darn hot.
It really is. And it's hard for, it's hard for city employees who are setting everything up and tearing it all down when it's, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's 147 degrees. And we had some people get pretty overcome with the heat last year, including myself. So anyway, they wisely decided to push that off to Dixie Days. But then at nighttime, Friday night, there'll be the 4th of July celebration, the big fireworks and concert at Greater Zion Stadium. That's with Brett Young, the singer. And then the largest fireworks show in southern Utah, which starts off about 10 o'clock at night. And fortunately, you can see it from a lot of places around town. So if you don't make it into the stadium, you don't really have to. You won't miss it.
I know a popular spot is that road that runs up Tech Ridge. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to park there and watch it there, or over maybe on this other side of town. There's some pretty good views on Red Hills Parkway. Mm-hmm. Are they not doing the drones this year? Is fireworks and not drones?
I believe it is fireworks.
Okay.
Yeah. That's everything that I've been reading about. Yeah.
Drones have kind of taken over a lot of celebrations, but I miss the old fireworks. And
they had drones for Dixie Days last year, which was fun. Was cool.
The other thing is, I hope we get the monsoon a little bit with the lightning storms,
yes.
because there have been many a 4th of July where the lightning storm was better than the fireworks. That's how good the lightning storm was.
Or they set fire to something. Didn't that happen a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that's not good.
Fortunately, where we live at the south end of town, above the Southgate Golf Course. We go out on our balcony at nighttime because we're both trashed from working all day with the city. Yeah. And we can see fireworks displays from all over the town
area,
which is fun. And when the one for the city goes off, it's just beautiful.
My son has a house up on the ridge right here behind us, and he has a perfect view of the valley. I'm thinking I might need to find an excuse to be at his house Friday night.
I think you do. Just say, son, I'm coming over.
Yeah.
I birthed you, or I helped birth you. Yes.
That's right. Over. That's right. You owe me.
Yes.
Because I let you live.
Right. And there's a couple last things I wanted to mention. On the 14th is the concert in the park with Eric Dodge. So all of our country
Eric
fans.
Eric Dodge, the local guy. I love him.
Yep. Yeah. And there's also a really, really cool exhibit at the St. George Art Museum. One guy that does sculptures out of used skateboard decks. So they're all really sort of curvy and curly, and it's really fascinating, colorful stuff. And it's also with a woman who does fabric art with found objects like lost socks and things.
Lost socks. I wonder how many socks I've lost over
exactly.
the years.
Exactly. One of her pieces is called Five Lost Socks.
Yeah.
It's all really vibrant, fun stuff. So those are fun things to go, and it's cool inside the museum during the summertime. So.
And great, again, plays and things going on around
tons,
the area. Shakespeare and Tuacon and Electric Theater. And I think Hurricane's got their own version of community theater. And, I was a man's man back in the day. I wouldn't go to a play, but I've discovered theater. And,
yes.
And I love it. I wouldn't say I never went to theater, but I was not a regular goer. Mm-hmm. And I just love it now. And I'm so impressed. One of the things that amazes me still to this day was watching those actors memorize so much dialogue. How do they do that?
And it's like a foreign language.
When they're doing Shakespearean
language. Right. We are so fortunate. Doug and I have season tickets always to the Stage Door, which is what's putting on Into the Woods tomorrow night. And for community theater, their productions are really, really very good. I mean, we have so many people here who are in dance, and we have, performance students and stuff, and they do a great, great job. So,
Marianne and Michelle Graves will be announcing the parade. You guys will be over by the Cache Valley Bank.
Cache Valley Bank, yeah.
And on the kind of the review stand, looking forward to
that. Come and say hi.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Marianne will be the cute one with the blonde hair.
Hot.
We're out of time. And very hot, yeah. In more ways than one.
Thanks, Andy.
Marianne, thanks for coming today. Really appreciate
it. Happy 4th.
Dr. Blanchett on tomorrow here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening.